Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Lord of the Inferno, Volume 2 of War of the Fathers. Hello and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week we are continuing to read Lord of the Inferno. Last week we read. I'm just glad the tower didn't destroy us too, Adar thought. I was certain I'd killed us all. He was glad now that he had armed the tower, but for several minutes there he had become convinced that his rash action was the stupidest thing he had ever done, and was about to result in the deaths of thousands of people. He was grateful the tower builders had the foresight to make it not harm humans. They never expected the turncoats. Well, it's no matter. If the towers can take care of the Hunway, I can build an army to hunt down the bloody turncoats. Adar felt relief when he turned onto a street he recognized. He was beginning to wonder if he was somehow heading in the wrong direction. He had been off in his guess about where they were before, but now he was certain the arches were just the next street over. Looking behind to make sure that Kira was keeping up with them, he increased his speed. And now, Chapter 12. Adar ran down the street with Kira and Lars bringing up the rear. If he was shivering from the cold and exposure to the rain, he could understand why Kira was having such a difficult time with Lars. It isn't coming down as strong as before, he thought. But we're not getting any drier, either. He came across a dead Hunway that had not been burned to the bone and did a double take. The beast had died from a blast to the chest. A puddle of blue blood had formed around the corpse and was being washed away by the rain. This is not a good sign. Adar lurched to a stop, spinning around with his blaster. He scanned the area, expecting to see Tear with a blaster pointed in his direction. When Kira stopped beside him, Adar put his finger up to his mouth. Lars, thank the gods, was quiet. Adar checked to make sure that the boy was still alert and was glad to see Lars' eyes moving. The rainstorm wasn't as loud as it had been before and didn't provide as much cover for Lars crying. Adar's chest tightened, and he took his next several steps at a run until he forced himself to slow down so that he could think things through. Now was not the time to act rashly. They were too close to the arches to continue to run as they had been before. The further he had gone from the tower, the more anxious he became that there might still be live groups of Hunway about. This dead Hunway seemed to confirm his fears. Jorad and the others should have been back in the arches long before the Hunway invasion had gotten to this point. Zarda and Tarnar should have seen to that. It was possible this was the work of Terra and Karn, but Adar was not willing to bet on it. Jorad would have held out for as long as possible, trying to save as many townsfolk as he could. Confound that boy's willful spirit. What is it? Kira asked, her voice low enough to be a whisper, but still louder than Adar would have liked. This Hunway was killed by a blaster and has been dead for some time, Adar said. She was going to find out about Terra anyway, it might as well be now. This was either the work of my son or somebody else who was trying to kill me. The first time Adar had killed a Hunway, he had felt the skin of his neck afterward to see if the invisible shield was still there and had been surprised to learn that the temperature of the beast was roughly the same as Adar's own. Given the mottled gray skin and the small horns on their heads, he had believed that the Hunway were more like cold-blooded lizards than humans. He touched the neck of the Hunway, ignoring the inquisitive glare he received from Kira. The skin of this Hunway corpse was drenched and cold to the touch. Adar guessed that the beast had died sometime before the tower's weapon had gone off. That meant it wasn't the work of Tear or Karn. Somebody else is trying to kill you? Kira asked. What have I gotten myself into? I suppose they will want to kill me by association as well. You aren't somebody that stirs up trouble just to have something to do, are you? Feel free to leave any time you want, Adar said, swinging the Hunway's blaster onto his back. It looked functional. He had two spares again. More importantly, somebody else couldn't pick it up and use it against him. I'm not keeping you here. The cold Hunway corpse made him feel a sense of relief as well as chagrin. Relief because he had not yet found proof that he had reached the outer limit of the tower's range. Chagrin because Jorad and the others had been in the thick of the battle when they were supposed to have been hiding in the arches. He looked around, but there wasn't any other dead Hunway on the street. The towers had limits, otherwise why had so many of them been built? He needed to know what those limits were. Vigorok had been far larger and taller than the tower here in Zekirani. He assumed the bigger tower could kill Hunway at a greater distance away. That meant at some point the tower here in Zekirani would lose its ability to destroy the Hunway. It also meant Vigorok was the site of an ancient city that had been rather sizable. Why else would such a large tower be located there? He wondered if the people of Neberon were descendants of those that had lived in that city. What other secrets might be hidden in the surrounding woods? So many questions. Adar approached a nearby human body and was relieved when he didn't recognize it as somebody from his group. He was turning away, but something about the man's face tugged at his memory and made him look again. He did know this man after all. It took Adar several seconds, but the name came to him. Garou. This was the man that Arrow had accused Jorad of killing. He had been a Neberon town guard. Let me guess, Kira said. You know him. Another foe? Or have we found one of your friends? Adar cast his eyes about, wondering if he would find Thon's body here as well. The nearby human corpses were not the right size for Thon's big frame. This man was no enemy of mine. Adar did not feel like elaborating any further. After fleeing Neberon, Jorad had mentioned something about Garou, but Adar couldn't remember what it was. It had something to do with the lies that Arrow had been spreading about Jorad. Hadn't Garou been one of the guards that had torn up the Gartel place while arresting Jorad? Or had he been the guard that Jorad had assaulted to escape? One of those guards had been killed by the Hunway, but Adar didn't remember what had happened to the other. He frowned as he examined Garou's remains. It was a shame that Garou had survived the Hunway's attack on Neberon only to be killed here in Zekirani. If Arrow hadn't been lying again, Jorad would be beating himself up over this. Adar decided to avoid thinking about it until he could talk to Jorad. Perhaps Nir and Arrow had stumbled across Garou after he had been killed by the Hunway and later seen Jorad using a blaster. It was too bad that things with Nir and Arrow had not gone differently. Adar would have wanted to tell Wes that others from his hometown had survived. It would have made his day. The gawky kid had a knack that helped people feel happier even though there wasn't much to smile about. Their circumstances had not stopped him from being one of the more upbeat members of their little traveling party. Perhaps it was a talent he had developed because of the personal tragedy he'd suffered. If anybody would be happy that Nir and Arrow had survived, it would be Wes. Ter might be talking with Wes and the others right now, Adar thought, waiting to see if I'm about to come through the arch. His hands will be hovering over his blaster, ready to fire. Or he could have already slipped away. Adar tried to remember if Ter had been nearby when he had shown Jorad the closest working arch to Brarbon. Nine bloody burning hells, Adar thought, when he remembered that Jorad had carved a notch into the archway so that he would not forget. Adar's heart rate increased as Ter's confession came to mind again, and he forced himself to take calming breaths. How different things would have been if Adar had followed his instincts all those years ago when Ter had found Adar while he feverishly fought to save Nelian's life. The thought of Ter meeting up with Jorad and the others made Adar tighten his hands around the blaster. He walked forward again and checked to make sure that Kira was keeping up with him. Adar brought up his blaster so he was ready to handle Hunway, Turncoat, or anybody else that might wish to harm them. When they went into an alley, they startled an elderly man with a cane that had been coming from the other direction. The man hesitated when he saw Adar's blaster. He eyed Kira and the baby. Adar navigated around the man without bothering to stop. This would not be the last person to give him a strange look because of the weapons. When Adar had first come to Zekirani with a blaster slung on his back, nobody had given it a second thought because they had no idea what it could do. That had changed when the Hunway had invaded the city. Adar was a quarter of the way down the alley when he stopped and listened. It sounded like a Hunway ship was about to land. He turned about and looked up as the sound of rushing wind got even louder. He grasped his blaster when he saw that one of the Hunway ships was indeed headed down, but instead of descending vertically like all the others, this one was coming in from an angle, and it was tilted to the side. If it were to continue on its current path, it would slam right into... Run, Kira, run! Adar bolted back the way he had come, praying they were not too late. Kira had apparently heard it before him and had already turned about. She was staring at the descending ship. Her mouth was open as if she had been saying something. Had she tried to warn him about the ship? Adar couldn't remember hearing anything. At his words, she burst into action, darting back out of the alley faster than Adar was capable of running. 20 years ago, he thought, I might have taken her. Pain twinged in his knee, but he ignored it. The roar of the ship was louder now, and he was surprised to see it was bigger than any he had seen land on the ground. Come to think of it, the sound of the ship's descent had been there in the background for some time, gradually getting louder. That was why it had taken him so long to recognize it as a source of potential danger. Some ships had been in the air when the weapon in the tower had been activated, but those had disappeared after the tower had done its thing. Adar had assumed the only damage the tower had done had been to the individual Hunway on the ground, but now he wondered while he ran if it had done something to the ships in the air. The off-kilter way the ship approached seemed wrong, even with his limited experience with the things. As the volume of its approach continued to increase, Adar pounded his legs against the ground, nearing the entrance of the alley. A large portion of the sky was blotted out by the mass as it hurled towards his location. He sprung over the remains of a Hunway he had passed earlier, its blackened skull staring up at him through its ash-covered helmet. The visor had yellowed from the flames of its death. Mud splashed when Adar landed, and he could feel the moisture on his legs as some of it clung to his pants. He spotted the elderly man as he hobbled down the street to which the alley connected. In the next moment, Kira made it to the man. He turned to face her as she shouted at him. Confusion crossed his face, but she did not slow. Kira disappeared as she ran down the street, leaving the old man quite alarmed. Gritting his teeth, Adar pushed himself to run faster, his knee flaring up again. The roar of the engines was now deafening, drowning out all other sounds. He couldn't even hear the sound of his boots hitting the ground. He cleared his throat, sputtered into a cough, and spat, all the while hearing none of it. It looked like the ship was going to hit a house across from the alley exit. The old man's face was finally turned to the sky. He hobbled towards the home while his eyes were still on the ship. His mouth was open as if he were yelling, but it was impossible to make out what he was saying. A woman appeared on the front porch of the home, holding an infant in her arms. The man waved his cane in the air. Whether she could make out the old man's words or not, Adar could not tell. She came forward until she could see what was coming. Her mouth opened, screaming. Adar had escaped the alley by that time and closed the distance between himself and the man. If it had not been for the people that were within the ship's path, Adar would have turned to the side and sprinted away after Kira. Beckoning to the woman, Adar yelled for them to run. The ship crashed through the top of the woman's home. Shingles and wood flew everywhere. The woman was hit in the head by a piece of wood and knocked off balance. She fell as Adar ran to her aid. He ducked to avoid a large broken beam. It almost took him in the chest. The wind of it rushing overhead pulled on his hair. The ship passed as Adar reached her, its long body blocking out the cloudy sky. The old man went to ground and covered his ears. Adar had thought the sound from the ship had been bad before, but now he wondered if he would ever be able to hear anything again. The heat from above forced his eyes shut, and he hoped it was not hot enough to hurt any of them. He could open his eyes only after it passed overhead. The baby's mouth was open, and its eyes were shut, its face scrunched. The mother tried to get to her feet, but the squirming mass in her arms made that impossible. They were both covered with dust and various pieces of shrapnel from the roof of their home. Adar was relieved to see that neither of them were bleeding. He had expected the ship would pull up, but it careened into a three-story building across the street. The home was laid flat in a blink of an eye as the ship went through without seeming to slow down. Wood, rock, and cement flew everywhere as it smashed into the next home. The ship continued to destroy all that lay in its path. It finally came to a stop in the same area to which Adar had been heading. With the ship knocking flat everything between them and it, Adar could see it slam into the two buildings that he knew were on either side of the entrance to the arches. Bloody Melia, Adar thought. Once Terra realizes my way to the arches is blocked, he won't need to run. It would take Adar almost a full day to get to the next closest entrance. Terra and the others would beat him to Rarbon long before he could catch up to them. Adar wondered if Terra would turn Darren's tablet over to Abel or keep it for himself. Suppressing a growl so as not to further distress the woman and her baby, Adar shook off the dust and stooped to help the struggling mother to her feet. After he had checked to see that the old man was all right, he took off at a run in the direction Kira had gone.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.